All right, so you wanted a deep dive on this 2020 census and the whole citizenship question thing.
Yeah.
We're talking Department of Commerce v. New York.
Yep.
It's a Supreme Court case.
It
Real
is.
roller coaster. Administrative law, political maneuvering, and a decision that, well, I think it surprised a lot of people.
I think it surprised a lot of folks.
Yeah.
It really is a fascinating case, especially because it gets to the heart of some really big questions about executive power and, how much leeway agencies have and how courts can, step in and keep them in check.
Yeah. We've got a stack of sources here, legal analyses, court opinions, media coverage, and it seems like this case isn't just about, counting people. It's really about the foundation of our democracy, right?
Absolutely. You can't talk about this case without starting with the Constitution itself. Article 1, Section 2, the Enumeration Clause, it's pretty clear. Every 10 years, we count everyone living in the U.S. to figure out how many representatives each state gets in Congress. This is about political power, plain and simple.
Okay, so the census is a big deal. It's in the Constitution.
Huge.
But where does this citizenship question fit into all of this? I mean, it's not like it was totally unheard of to ask about citizenship on the census, right?
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't unprecedented. There have been times in U.S. history where the census did include a citizenship question, but by 2010, it had been moved to a separate survey, the American Community Survey. So when Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, he announced in 2018 that they were going to add it back to the 2020 census, a lot of people, understandably, were concerned.
Yeah. And Ross's reasoning, I mean, he said the Department of Justice needed better data on citizenship to, to help enforce the Voting Rights Act. On the surface, it almost sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's where things get interesting. Evidence came out that Ross had actually been pushing for this question long before the DOJ, even made the request. We're talking back in 2017, shortly after he took office. This raised some serious red flags about whether the Voting Rights Act justification was the real reason behind the decision.
So it started to look like, maybe there was something else going on here, some other motivation behind this push for the citizenship question.
Exactly. And that's when the lawsuit started flying in from all directions. States, cities, counties, advocacy groups, everyone was lining up to challenge this decision.
Okay, so walk me through these legal challenges. What were the main arguments being thrown around?
Well, there are a few key angles. Some lawsuits argued that adding the question violated the Constitution itself, claiming it would, discourage participation in the census and lead to an inaccurate count. Others zeroed in on the Census Act, the actual law that governs how the census is conducted, saying Ross hadn't followed proper procedures. And then there was this whole other argument based on administrative law.
Now, I know you legal folks, you love talking about administrative law, but for those of us who, don't spend all day reading court opinions, break it down for me. What does that even mean? Why was administrative law such a big deal in this case?
It's a fair question. Think of it this way. Administrative law is all about setting limits on the power of government agencies. It's about making sure they don't just do whatever they want, that their decisions are based on evidence and logic and not, just whims or personal agendas.
Okay, so are we saying that people thought the Commerce Department was acting on a whim when they tried to add this question?
Not necessarily a whim, but a lot of the legal challenges argued that the Commerce Department's decision wasn't properly justified. They said Ross wasn't following the rules laid out in the Administrative Procedure Act, or APA for short.
Wait, the APA, that sounds familiar. What is that again?
Think of the APA like the rule book for government agencies. It lays out the steps they have to take when making decisions, ensuring there's transparency, a chance for public comment, and that they genuinely consider the evidence before taking action.
Okay, so if I'm following this correctly, we've got the Constitution, the Census Act, and now this APA all playing a role in how this case is being argued. Sounds pretty complex. Did any of these challenges actually gain any traction in the courts? So we've got multiple legal challenges all coming at this citizenship question from different angles. What happens next? Where do the courts come in?
Well, first stop was a district court in New York, and they actually threw out the argument that the question itself was unconstitutional, but they did allow those other claims, the ones based on the Census Act and the APA, to move forward. And after a trial, they ruled that Secretary Ross had violated the APA.
Okay, so the district court sided with those who said Ross hadn't played by the rules,
Yeah.
that his decision was, based on something other than what he was claiming publicly.
Exactly. The court said his actions were, and this is legal jargon here, arbitrary and capricious, which basically means he ignored evidence and didn't give a real legitimate reason for his decision. They even went so far as to say his explanation was pretextual.
Hold on. pretextual. I'm not a lawyer, so break that down for me. What were they really saying about Ross's motives here?
They were saying he was covering up his real motives. You know, remember how we talked about that evidence that emerged that Ross had been pushing for this question long before the DOJ even got involved? The court basically said, "We see right through your excuse, Mr. Secretary. You wanted this question on the census for other reasons, and you used the Voting Rights Act as a cover."
Wow, that's pretty damning. So what did the Commerce Department do? Appeal the decision?
They did something even more dramatic. Instead of going through the usual appeals process, they decided to fast-track this case straight to the Supreme Court.
Wait, straight to the Supreme Court? Why the rush? It seems like this could have played out in the lower courts for a while before reaching that level.
Timing was everything. They claimed they needed a decision from the highest court in the land, like, as quickly as possible, because the census forms were about to be printed. That's how this whole thing, a seemingly bureaucratic squabble over one question on the census, ended up before the Supreme Court.
Okay, so Supreme Court, here we come. I'm guessing this is where things get really interesting from a legal standpoint.
Absolutely. And remember, there are still multiple legal issues at play here. The Constitution, the Census Act, the Administrative Procedure Act, this whole idea of pretext that the lower court brought up. It was a complex case with a lot riding on how the Supreme Court would rule.
All right, so set the scene for me. What happens when this case lands before the highest court in the land? How does the Supreme Court tackle all these different arguments swirling around?
Well, first they had to address the most fundamental question of all. Did asking about citizenship on the census violate the Constitution? It's a pretty big deal, right? The very foundation of our democracy hinges on the census being accurate and fair.
Right. And if people are afraid to answer a question about their citizenship status, that could really skew the results, right? And have huge implications for representation and funding and all sorts of things. So what did the court say about that?
You might be surprised to hear this, but on this particular point, the court was actually unanimous. All nine justices, both liberal and conservative, agreed that simply asking about citizenship is not inherently unconstitutional.
Interesting. So they were all on the same page there. What about the Census Act? Did they think Secretary Ross had violated that law by the way he went about adding the question?
Here's where the divisions start to appear. The court split 5-4 on this one, with the more conservative justices siding with the Commerce Department. They said Ross hadn't, like, technically violated any specific rules laid out in the Census Act.
Hold on. I'm a little confused. Didn't we hear earlier that there was, you know, evidence that Ross basically went shopping for a request from the DOJ to justify his decision? How could the court say he didn't break any rules?
You're right to question that, and we'll come back to that whole pretext issue in a bit. But for now, it's important to understand that when it came to the Census Act specifically, the majority of justices focused on the letter of the law. They said Ross had followed the basic steps outlined in the act, even if his underlying motivations might have been, questionable.
Okay, so they let him off the hook, at least when it came to the Census Act. But what about the APA, the Administrative Procedure Act? Remember, that's the one that's all about agencies, acting fairly and transparently. Surely the Supreme Court had something to say about that.
Oh, they definitely did. And this is where things get really juicy. Initially, the court, again, by a 5-4 majority, seemed to agree that, on the surface, Ross's decision to add the question didn't appear entirely arbitrary.
So are you saying that on paper, it kind of looked like a legitimate decision, even though we know there might have been some shady maneuvering going on behind the scenes?
Exactly. But here's the major twist. Chief Justice Roberts, who often serves as the, swing vote on the court, he switched sides and joined the liberal justices on this whole question of pretext.
Wait, are you serious? So even though the conservative justices had the majority on the other issues, Roberts, flipped the script on this one. That's huge.
It was a big deal. By siding with the liberal justices, Roberts created a 5-4 majority that ruled that even if Ross had, technically followed the rules laid out in the APA, his reasoning was clearly a smokescreen. They looked at all the evidence and concluded that the DOJ request was basically manufactured as a way to justify a decision Rath had already made.
Wow. So they were basically calling him out for being dishonest, for trying to, pull a fast one.
Exactly. And they didn't stop there. They went on to say that in cases where there's strong evidence of bad faith like this, courts have the power to look beyond the official paperwork to, figure out what was really going on.
So they were willing to dig deeper, look at the behind the scenes maneuvering to see if the agency was, being truthful about its motives.
Precisely. And this set a powerful precedent for how courts can scrutinize agency actions in the future. It's not enough for agencies to just like dot their I's and cross their T's. Their decisions need to be genuinely justified. And if a court suspects, foul play, they can and will investigate.
Okay, let me make sure I'm following all of this. The Supreme Court basically said that the citizenship question itself wasn't unconstitutional and that Ross hadn't, like, technically broken the Census Act, but they called him out for being, like, sneaky about his real reasons. They saw through his pretext. Is that about right?
You got it. And because of that finding of pretext, they sent the case back to the Commerce Department, essentially saying, go back and try again, but this time, give us a real explanation, one that we can believe.
But didn't we say earlier that the clock was ticking at this point? Weren't they, like, up against a deadline to get those census forms printed? What happened next?
Yeah, you're right about that deadline. And because of that time crunch, the citizenship question never made it onto the 2020 census. The Commerce Department simply ran out of time to come up with a justification that would satisfy the Supreme Court.
Wow, what a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
So in the end, the question was blocked, not because it was, like, illegal in itself, but because of how the decision was made. That's fascinating, isn't it?
It really is. And it has significant implications for how we think about the balance of power between government agencies and the courts. It tells us that agencies can't just operate in the shadows, making decisions based on, hidden agendas. They have to be transparent. They have to be accountable. And they have to be able to back up their decisions with, like, solid, genuine reasons.
I mentioned the justices themselves had some pretty strong opinions about how this whole thing went down.
Yeah.
Didn't some of them write separate opinions explaining their reasoning?
They did. And those opinions reveal a lot about the different perspectives on the court and how they view the role of agencies in our government.
Mm-hmm.
We'll dive into those dissenting opinions and talk about the broader significance of this case when we come back.
Okay, so we've seen how this whole citizenship question, like, saga played out. The Supreme Court didn't just give a simple yes or no answer. Instead, they basically said, not like this, effectively blocking the question because of, how the decision was made. You mentioned earlier that some of the justices wrote separate opinions, like, about their reasoning. What can we learn from those?
Yeah, you're right. Those separate opinions, especially the dissenting ones, really highlight the nuances of the justices' views on executive power and agency discretion and the role of the courts.
Let's start with Chief Justice Roberts. He was the swing vote in this case, wasn't he? What was his take on all of this?
Yeah, Roberts' opinion is really interesting. It's like this delicate balancing act, where he's trying to uphold the power of the executive branch while also making it clear that agencies can't just abuse that power.
So he wasn't ready to completely dismantle the authority of agencies to make decisions, but he also wasn't going to let them get away with, like, being sneaky or dishonest.
Exactly. On the one hand, he affirmed the idea that agencies need a certain amount of leeway to carry out their duties. He wasn't about to, hamstring the executive branch with, like, overly strict judicial oversight. Okay. But on the other hand, he was clearly troubled by the evidence of pretext, by the Commerce Department's lack of transparency. He actually had some pretty strong words condemning that behavior.
It's almost like he was saying, look, I trust you to do your job, but don't lie to us about how you're doing it. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
I think that's a great way to put it. And that tension, that desire to find a middle ground, it's pretty typical of Roberts, I think. He's often trying to, like, preserve the institutional integrity of both the courts and the executive branch.
Okay, that makes sense. So what about the other justices? I mean, they were all, like, holding hands and singing kumbaya about this decision, were they?
Definitely not. Justice Breyer, writing for the more liberal justices, he would have preferred the court to take a much, much stricter approach to scrutinizing the Commerce Department's decision right from the start. He was particularly worried about the potential impact on census accuracy.
Right, because if people are afraid to answer the census honestly for fear of repercussions, you don't get a true picture of the population, right?
Yeah.
And that can have all sorts of negative consequences.
Absolutely. Everything from how federal funds are allocated to how congressional districts are drawn depends on accurate census data. And Breyer argued that the potential harm to the census itself and to our democracy as a whole, you know, outweighed any justification the Commerce Department had offered for adding the citizenship question.
So he was taking a more protective stance toward the census and its core function of counting every person, regardless of their citizenship status.
Precisely. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, you had Justices Thomas and Alito, who represent the more conservative wing of the court, and they dissented quite strongly from the majority opinion.
What was their main objection? Did they think the citizenship question was, like, perfectly fine?
They actually argued that the whole case was what's called non-justiciable.
Non-justiciable. Now, there's a word I haven't heard before. Can you explain what that means in plain English?
It means they didn't think this was an issue that the courts should be deciding in the first place. They believed this was a political question, not a legal one, and that the Supreme Court should have, you know, stayed out of it entirely.
So they thought this was something that should have been handled by Congress or the executive branch, not by the judiciary.
That was their position. They argued that the Constitution gives Congress, not the courts, the ultimate authority to oversee the census. They basically said this whole thing was like a political hot potato that the courts should have never touched.
Okay, so we've got a lot of different viewpoints here, even within a single case. It sounds like, you know, Department of Commerce v. New York, it really opened up a can of worms about executive power, judicial review, and the very purpose of the census in a democracy.
Yeah.
But what does it all mean for us, you know, for the average person who isn't a constitutional law scholar? Why should we care about a case that's seemingly all about, like, technical legal arguments?
That's the key question, isn't it? How do we connect these complex legal battles to our everyday lives and to the health of our democracy? I think on a very practical level, this case tells us that the government can't just make up reasons for its actions. Agencies have to be transparent, they have to be accountable, and they have to be able to justify their decisions with solid evidence.
So this case basically put agencies on notice that the courts are watching, and they're not afraid to call them out if they're being, you know, sneaky or trying to manipulate the system for their own gain.
Yeah, you could say that. It also reaffirms the essential role of the courts in protecting the integrity of democratic processes like the census, which is, you know, fundamental to how our government functions. And that's something we all have a stake in.
It also makes you think about the importance of critical thinking, of not just taking things at face value, right?
Yeah.
This case, it shows us why it's so important to dig deeper, you know, look at the evidence and ask ourselves, does this explanation really hold up? What might be the real motivations behind this decision?
Absolutely. This case is a perfect example of why an informed citizenry is so vital to a healthy democracy.
Right.
The more we understand about how our government works, the more we're able to hold those in power accountable.
Well said. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into Department of Commerce v. New York. It's a case that might seem, you know, dry and technical on the surface, but as we've seen, it touches on some truly fundamental questions about how our country is run and the delicate balance of power within our government.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us on this journey. And remember, knowledge is power. The more you understand about these complex issues, the better equipped you'll be to participate in our democracy and to demand accountability from those who represent you.
And that's a wrap on this episode. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into the fascinating world of law, politics, and everything in between.